I've been also asked to talk about the balance, the practice of balance. This question, actually, if you think about it, this is all Buddhist teaching is all about. Buddhist teaching is all about mind training. For example, this very initiation that we just did, although we are making offerings to the deity, we are doing promising to keep whatever samayas, all kinds of body speech and all kind of different parts in this initiation. So this is all to help you mentally to have an enlightenment. I think the simple way is that you have to understand what this enlightenment is. And that itself will tell you about mental practice. And also, how do you practice Buddhism in your daily life? I think this is the question, I think. First thing, as I said, Buddhism is all about mental. In Buddhist, we say it's better to work for your next life, because we believe in the life after the next, rather than working for this life. For example, tomorrow, day after tomorrow, next year, when you get older, you are all trying to make something better for your when you grow older, or whatever reason you are, for the future. Basically, generally we say for our future, for our family, for our children, we are working. But we don't know whether we will wake up tomorrow. We have that if you are healthy, doesn't mean that tomorrow you will survive. You will survive tonight. Physically, you can fall down the stairs. Somebody may hit you. Car can hit you. Animal can attack you. There are so many reasons that your life is very fragile. So according to our teachings, it says it's better to work for something you are sure that you will get result than working for something that you are not sure whether you will get the fruit or not. For example, if I work for my, when you say I'm 60 years or 80 years or something, then if I die tomorrow, then all my work for the that is for no reason. And also to understand, we have medicine Buddha to help you keep you healthy. Then we have Ved deities, we have wrathful deities, we have all kinds of deities. Many of you may misunderstand saying that, oh, if I want to be healthy, I should do medicine Buddha. If I want to be rich, then I do the Zambala or White Mahakala. So something like wealth deity, you should do that. And also for long life, we have Amitayu. So basically all these different deities. But you must understand is this is... Medicine Buddha is to is the goal of Medicine Buddha is not just mere be healthy or to have a healthy life, and the wealth deity is not just to get rich, and Amitayus for just for living a long life. Because if you don't understand fully, then basically what is the point of becoming rich as a Buddhist? In fact, you are not careful, then you are doing more. Defilements, or you are more in sins, or you are creating more bad merits for you than good merits. All these different powers are for the sake of you being enlightened. For example, if you want to help somebody or anything like this, I'm just giving this one small example. Or let's say you want to go somewhere. First, you need to be healthy to do that. You want to help somebody. First, you need to be strong enough to help somebody else. If you are not healthy, if you are not strong enough, forget about helping others. You can't even help yourself. So that these deities gives you the power to live long, to have enough food and wealth. We are not talking about luxury stuff, but wealth and also a long life, so that you can do your practice, so you can do the necessary understanding of Buddhist teaching. Simply put, so that you can get out of this samsara. Because if you don't have that vision, or if you don't have that understanding, then basically all of healthy, rich and long life is you are just making more sins to be in this samsara. You have to understand that in Buddhism there is no creator. There is no somebody created me to be in this place. It is my own karma that I am in this samsara. So in this samsara, I'm going again and again. Because we believe in life after the next, so I'm getting old or whatever, and then I die, and then I rebirth again in any different form, then again I'll die. So this is going on round and round and round and round. And our goal is get out of this samsara or this circle. Now, who is keeping you in this samsara? We are keeping ourselves in this samsara. For that, you have to also understand. We normally give an example of circle of life. So that means this samsara is something like a round, because round doesn't have an edge, or round doesn't have the end or beginning. So we are going this again round and round and round, the never-ending circle. But similarly, we are born, dying, then this is going again and again. It's something similar to, I think you have I don't know how many of you understand the board game. You have this ladder and snake game, you know. There's a game which you play, and if you end up with a snake, then you go back to where you started. Basically, it means that if you do bad things or negative things or with your anger, with your desire, with your ignorance, then you have negative deeds. That means you are in this samsara. If you have good deeds, that means you can get out of this samsara. So you are the reason why you are in this samsara. So we all know the goal, as a Buddhist, our goal is to get out of this samsara. Now we have to understand what is samsara. What is the material which is made this round samsara? Now this samsara is actually your mind. Mind is something like a flow of water or river or a rain. Basically, when you look at the river, you don't see one drop. You see a long river or big river flowing. So I saw a river. You don't say I saw a drop of water there. You just say I see a river, right? You put a very long. But at the same time, you also understand that this part of the river and this part of the river is totally different water, right? But because they are joined together, because they are flowing, when you see it, you see one river. So just like that, this stream of thoughts, like we are not we are not stopping every time we have a new from different thoughts. We are joined together. We are this seamless, you know. When the two different thoughts thinking about food, then we are thinking about sleeping, then we are thinking about shopping, then we are thinking about holiday, then we are so we are, all these thoughts are joined like this. Like then you cannot, how do you say, differentiate, because it's jumping from one to another with such a smooth that you feel like it's a one thought is going on. So then we have many different kinds of small thoughts. So the circle of the samsara is made of different thoughts, joined by our vajra imprints. These small thoughts are joined together with our imprints. So that basically, the other name that we call enlightenment is awakening. For example, in this place, if you middle of night or when you can't see anything, so when you can't see anything, you are very cautious now. There could be a goat, there could be a hole, there could be a stone, there could be a table, there could be a tree. So you are going like very carefully because you don't know what's going in your life, because you don't know what's in front of you. Now in the daytime, you don't walk like this. Why? Because you see everything. Now enlightenment, awakening. For example, at that very moment when you are walking like this, as soon as somebody puts a light on, awakening. So you see everything. Now you're not worried. You're not worried that you are going to walk into a tree or you're not going to walk into a wall, you're not going to trip and fall, because you can see clearly. Now, here, actually, I'm trying to, how do you say, Buddhism is an idea. It's an idea.
It's a thought.
As simple as possible, I'm trying to give it to you. Actually, Buddhism, it is the simplest thing you can possibly have. Because sometimes it's literally, there are many teachers who said Buddhism is so simple that if you just say it's simple, many people doesn't believe that this is just, Buddhism is just that. Now, what is making our life, or this, why can't we see in our life? Let's say the sunlight outside, cover on my eyes. Although it's very visible outside, but because my eyes are covered, could be night, could be day, doesn't matter. Just like that, if I wear a red sunglass, there are many different colors outside. But if I look through the red sunglasses, I see everything is reddish color. Green is also reddish, white is also reddish, yellow is also red. Everything is reddish color. You don't see the true color of whatever the color outside. So just like that, our emotions, anger, desire, ignorance. Now these things are making you, see different things. So there are some things you like, some things you don't like. So all these different emotions, all these three players are playing football in your head, because that's why your emotions are stopping you from seeing the true nature, the true color of whatever you want to see. So the Buddhism is that you are seeing the true color. You're stopping all your emotions. You're taking off your glasses, and then you see yellow as yellow, red as red, green as green, blue as blue. So you see the color as it is. So you are stopping all these different emotions. At the same time, these three things, okay, anger, desire, ignorance, where are this thing coming from? Angry, desire, ignorance. Now, these three things are coming from your hope and doubt. This is according to the teaching. These two things are creating in your mind anger, desire, and ignorance. So now you have to see, where is this coming from? Now that's hope and doubt. Like, hope means something, you wish something, you want something, there's a lot of things. Basically, all our life we have been wanting something, or you're hoping for something. Doubt, you're doubting something. Oh, that person maybe this. So all these different thoughts, basically hope and doubt, these are the two things which creating all your emotions. Now you see that where are these two things are coming. Now these two things are coming from your selfish thoughts, self-thought. Because when you have you, when you believe that it's you, then there is naturally others. Because if there is left, there is right. You cannot have only right. If there is only right, then there is no left. If you are rich, that means there are poor people. If there is no poor people, you cannot be the only rich people. Or similarly, everything in this world. Because if there is handsome, there is ugly. There is beauty, there is ugly. There is rich, there is poor. Everything, basically. Because there is you, I, and then there's others. Then you have love or affection for yours, you and yours, and then you have this other people's different thoughts. So basically the Buddhism, the enlightenment, is finally boils down to is that you get rid of your selfish thought, self-thought. So that is basically, in a roughly speaking, that is enlightenment. That's why Buddha said, the moment you understand yourself, that is Buddha Dhamma. Buddha Dhamma is, you are not learning anything new. This is a very important. Buddha Dhamma is basically, we all have hands here. Okay. Some of you may know how to cook, and some of you don't know how to cook. But you have the ability to cook. You can cook. You can learn. But that doesn't mean that if you don't know how to cook, and tomorrow you learn how to cook, that doesn't mean that your teacher is giving you a new pair of hands. Your hand is, you already have your hand. Mm-hmm. The knowledge breaking, or for example, I was just thinking that, for example, to live in this remote retreat place, the temple, for us, we need water, we need to go shopping, right? We cannot just live here without going outside at all, or somebody bringing some things from the shop. So we need that to go to other places and bring things here to survive. That, I believe, is the lack of knowledge we have. Because the goats here don't have to go to the shop. Fox here, they don't need to go to the shop to survive. Why we have to go to the shop, go somewhere else and buy things? Why can't we survive in this very the surrounding with the trees? Let's say this olive tree we have. If we do not know that olive is edible or something you can eat, you would have said, oh, this is some seed, I don't know what it is, but you will never eat olive. Because that's knowledge, actually. That knowledge, that wisdom, knowledge. There are many different trees. I'm sure there are many things you can eat. But because we don't know, we know olive we can eat, but there are 100 different trees you can survive off. But because we don't know, then, this is jungle or this is whatever the tree, so we have to go to outside to buy things to survive here. So all this basically knowledge. And also, if somebody who has never lived in a remote area like this, a city person who is born in a city, who is raised in a city, who has always lived in an apartment in the city, if you suddenly put them in this place, it will be very difficult for him to survive. But that does not mean that this place is not survivable. It just means that you don't know how to survive. So this is knowledge, wisdom. When you teach that person how to live in a place like this, you're not giving him a supply of all the things he needs for the rest of his life. You're just awakening him. So this is Buddha's teachings are all knowledge. Buddha didn't say, or if you pray to me, I will bless you, and suddenly and things have happened. Buddha's teachings are all to what we already have. Buddha said that if you do not have the wisdom already, for example, if you pour water, keep it in a good temperature, and look after the soil, unless and until there is a seed inside the soil, nothing will grow out. For just dry sand, if you put water, whatever you do, nothing will grow out of that. If there is a seed already, then you look after that. You put water, you put all the manure, you put all kind of, look after the place, then the tree or the things will give you come out. So just like that, we already possess the Buddha nature. We are already Buddha inside. We just have to realize that. We just have to remember that. Because you cannot be enlightened if you don't know already have the Buddha nature. Every sentient beings, that includes not just the humans, the animals, even in the hell realm, gods, demigods, all of these sentient beings already have possessed the Buddha nature. We just have to work on it, and then you will see the result. So in order to do that, then people who live in the city, whatever you're doing, you have to now balance in your good balance in your life. I mean, it is, how to say, you cannot just change all your habits. You cannot just change everything and suddenly become Buddha. It doesn't work that way. Just because I join a gym today does not mean that I have a very good body today. For that, I need to work on it. Maybe months, years, I have to work on every day. I have to go to gym. Just like that, although your mind does not have a physical body, you need training. So until that happens, you need to certain things you can do to make it easier your life. For example, one of the most important things is the balance in your life. You have to understand that anything of this life, it's too much of anything in this life is not good for you. Now that also includes your practice. Teaching or practice is good. So you do 24/7, you do practice. That's not good for you. You cannot survive if you do this 24/7. You will not survive. You need rest. You need eat to go to toilet. You need to go eat. So these things you must have. You don't run a marathon like a sprinter. You have to. If you are running a long run, then you have to go slowly, slowly. You are so that you can finish your marathon. So just like that, to keep a balance, practice your family life, your work life, all of these things have a. But I cannot tell you like, okay, 2 hours of this, 2 hours of that, because everyone has different capacity to do things, so you have to find your own balance. But I believe you can understand that, because if you say too much of family is also difficult. Too much of medicine is poison. Too much of sleeping is not good. Too much of standing is not good. You have to find a good balance. Normally I give an example saying that if you love somebody, your children, your spouse, your family, whoever, if you hug, you say you like them and you love them, if you hug them, it's good for 2 seconds. Then after that, then it becomes too hard, too uncomfortable. And then if you hug them all the time, they will be running away from you. Oh, he's coming, he's hugging, he'll hug you, you have to run away. So that means even too much of love is also not good. So there's nothing in this world where it's too much of more the better. No, it is too. Too much wealth is also, people go crazy with wealth. Too much power, you cannot handle, you go crazy. So everything in this world, in this universe basically, too much of anything is not good. And to have a good balance, I think, is the key to your, I would say, more relaxed life. I don't really like to say to have a happy life, because our goal is to keep our mind more stable. Happy is, you're not happy all the time. You're so happy is up. Sorrow or unhappy is down. So, but I prefer to have a more happier life.
Okay.
A more stable life. And also, when you are sad, you cannot make decisions because your decisions are not based on reality or logic or anything like that. Similarly, when you are happy, you are very happy, you cannot make decisions because again, then you are making decisions which are not logical. Benefit of being a stable mind, because then you are making rational thinking. It's very interesting because just yesterday we were taken to a Mediterranean Sea on a boat. Took us to the sea. Yeah. If you want to swim in the sea, you can jump into the water. Now those people who have know the sea, who have done swim and they have experience in the swim, they jump into the water. Uh-huh. And they are very relaxed in the water. They don't feel they are afraid or anything like that. Uh-huh. Although there is no danger whatsoever, but when I jump into the water, because I am not used to this experience, because there's no, you cannot go down, it's like, I don't know, 60 meters or 100 meters, whatever. And there's no, you can't, swimming pool, you can swim to this side or that side, you can see the floor. So when you are afraid, you are seeing things, it doesn't exist. So all of this is also actually a life lesson for me, actually. But when you are, emotionally stable, that means these people who know what they're doing, they are emotional, they are not extremely happy or they are not scared or anything like that. But because I am not emotionally stable in that, because we are not used to that, I'm behaving in a such a way. So there was also similarly what I just said, that if you walk in the dark, then you don't know because you are scared, you all kinds of things. Just like that, if you are stable, you are doing rational thinking, which is very important. To understand Buddhist teachings, to understand Buddha's message, you already have everything you need with you at this very moment already. Just think that how many things you did in your life rationally and how many are important for this as a Buddhist. How many of your work is going to affect your next life? Normally we say, oh, we should work, we should earn more money, we should have more power so that you have a better life. But if you think carefully, let's say you work your entire life to earn more money. Our excuse is that for our family, so they don't have to work so in the more difficult time. But how many times we have seen in our life, because wealth is the main reason why families are broken up, families are fighting, families are literally trying to kill each other. For the wealth or power. So knowing that, let's say when you are working and knowing that your children and your family in the future is going, the work that you have put to earn this money or the power that you, whatever you have, knowing that this itself is going to make your family into so many different things, would you have still worked and earned so much money for the future? And again, I do not mean do not work, sleep in your place and do not do anything. It does not mean that. I'm not saying at the same time that every family will fight for this thing. More important thing is that you have to understand that if your child does or your family does not have the karma to be in that position, all your works you have earned, your life earnings or your position, your child or family can make one mistake if he doesn't have the merits to have all that wealth, or it could go all your entire life's worth of wealth or whatever is, it could go in one day, one wrong business deal or one wrong investment, and everything is gone. Knowing, let's say if you have the power to know that in the future your family will make that wrong mistake, make the wrong deal, would you have still worked day and night to earn all that money and wealth, knowing that everything will be gone? Again, I do not mean wealth is bad. Nothing is bad. Everything is okay. As long as you have understanding what wealth is, what power is, whatever you can so-called power and wealth. Buddha always said that two things are always going together. That is two worlds, basically. Two worlds. What you see and what it is. Basically, the relative truth and the ultimate truth. The Buddha's teachings are all basically surrounding these two truths. For example, alcohol itself is not bad. Now, problem starts when you get drunk. But you can't say alcohol is bad because it made me drunk. Alcohol itself is not bad, but when you consume alcohol, then you go crazy, you are fighting, screaming, doing all kinds of things. So it's important to understand that you live in a relative truth, and ultimate truth is empty. If you have that understanding, that means what is happening is that you have less attachment. So when you have that, then you have less emotion. Then you have more calmer life, more relaxed life. So basically, you have a good balanced life. Basically, the second thing I normally try to advise or I try to say is to accept your life, whatever it is. So what it does, the first thing it does, it brings your mind from future to present. I'm 44 years old. I have to accept that. I cannot think, oh, I want to be 20 years old or 25 years old. I'll never be happy if I only think like that. I can be 60 years old. There's a possibility that if I live long enough, I'll become 60 years old. But that's, again, in the future. And all the problems, if you generally think carefully, all the problems we bring from future to present and then say, and I'm not happy. Things that did not happen, you say it might happen, it may happen. So all this suffering, all you're bringing literally from future to present, and you are ruining your present. So basically, you should accept, and you should accept whatever you are. Again, that does not mean you should not improve yourself. Accept whatever you are, you're fat, thin, black, brown, whatever you are, then where you're rich. You should say, oh, I always want to be more richer. But richer does not mean happier. You can be happy or more relaxed right now. You just have to accept your reality. There are people who have no arms, they are happy or relaxed. They have accepted that. For example, it's a good example is that when you lose somebody, loved one in your life, get really emotional, you're crying, you're physically disturbed, you can't eat any food, you are very disturbed. All this crying and going through a difficult time stops when you accept that person or that thing is gone from your life. And what is making you keeping you from accepting is because you are attached to that person. You are not letting it go. So again, if you accept, that means you are letting it go. Whatever it is, you are accepting it. Then you have a much more relaxed life. Rational thinking is very important for immediate calm life, good life is rational thinking. Secret is the key to your stable life is rational thinking. In order to have that, then you have a good balance and acceptance. And I'm only telling you this from my understanding of the Buddhist. I'm not saying this is the Buddhist way. I'm not saying this is the only way. I'm saying from whatever I personally understood from the teachings, I'm telling you, this is the 2 points that I thought will make your life more, meaningful. Again, I'm not saying that you must also think like this, so you must also do whatever I'm saying. I'm saying this is what I found out. If you think that you can use some of this, or if you think this is beneficial in your life, of course you can practice. Buddhism is all about wisdom or knowledge. Basically, enlightenment word itself, awakening or enlightenment, the word itself kind of explains what it means. Enlightenment does not mean that you can fly or you go to the paradise or something like that. Enlightenment is much bigger, better than enlightenment or paradise. Sorry. So we should all try to be more rational, have a more rational life. I think that's better. And also important thing is to believe in yourself. Our mind, every person's mind, we have such a powerful mind. Most people underestimate their mind. You cannot underestimate your mind, because Buddha knew that you have the ability to be enlightened, so that's why he taught. Otherwise, he would not have taught. Many people say that, oh, we have to protect our religion and protect our tradition. The most dangerous to your tradition and religion is you. So we have to understand that. So that's my talk. So we do the dedication prayer.